I want to make a declaration from the get-go. Can we do that? Can you guys put it on the screen? Now, boom. Say this with me. I'm with the right people at the right place at the right time. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, I'm with the right people at the right place at the right time. Now you need to turn around somebody behind you and say, I'm with the right people at the right place at the right time. You know, I don't talk much about my son. Josiah plays football for the University of Cincinnati. He's in his last year. I don't talk a lot about that on Sundays. I do a lot of social media posting about that because, yes, I am his number one fan, me and his mom. And so as he enters in his final season at the University of Cincinnati, there is a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz around the possibilities of Josiah having a shot at the NFL. And so over the last couple of months, he's trying to really focus. He has to do well. He has to stay healthy. He has to do all these things. And so he's been forwarding all the sports agents that have been reaching out to him to me. So it really makes me feel important. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I get to act like some big shot. Yes, you know, I raised that boy, you know. But it seems, you know, we're at this place right now, and he's gotten some breaks. And if you know anything about this, football and sports and making it to that level, you have to have some things fall your way and breaks. Because to be honest with you, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, was he going to have this shot? I would have probably said, no way. His career is going to be wrapped up in a couple years, and it's going to be great, but he's going to be moving on and doing that. But something happened a couple years. The first thing, one of the things that happened, their first two seasons, he redshirted. He knocked his shoulder, tore his labrum. He was out, so they redshirted him the first year. The second year, he played just very minimal on special teams. They went 4-8. If you don't know, that's not a very good season. The second year, they went 4-8. And then the year after that, they had a coaching change because of the bad season, and the program wasn't really fun. He wasn't really even having fun anymore. And so this coaching change has happened, and there's some excitement, and these coaches that are coming in from Ohio State, they know how to build culture. And so Coach Luke Fickell, who was the defense coordinator for Ohio State, he comes in and he meets with all the existing players. And the first question he asked Josiah, he looks him in the face and he says, hey, why are you here? That's not the question that you want to hear from your head coach. Why are you here? He said, you're the only kid here west of the Mississippi. You're from California. How did you even end up here? And Josiah just said, well, I believe, you know, this was the place that I could play at the highest level and show and prove to myself that I could do it. And so that started off kind of rocky that year. He was just about on the verge of overtaking the starting position, and he broke his finger and he was sidelined again. And at the end of the year, his position coach at the time told him, hey, I just want to let you know, as you're going into the next year, you know, the coaches don't think you're that tough. They don't think that highly of you. So just want to let you know that. And so you don't say that to my son. Because when you say that to my son, he gets motivated and determined. That's how he's always been, all right? And so, make a long story short, they end up hiring Coach Mike Dimbrock. If you know anything about Coach Dimbrock, he's a veteran of 30-plus years. Before this hire, Josiah never had an expert coach at the tight end position. And so when they brought in Mike Dimbrock has put Tyler Eifert from the Cincinnati Bengals in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings, Kyle Rudolph in the NFL. And so Josiah was fired up, right? And so this guy takes a special interest in Josiah. But up to this point, Josiah did not have an experienced tight end coach. It was frustrating. It felt like he knew more than the coaches that were coaching him up to this point, because he wasn't tapping into his potential or going to reach the potential he knew he could get to if he just had the right coach. Then last year, with the help of Coach Denbrock, Josiah became the most productive tight end since Travis Kelce at the University of Cincinnati, who, if you don't know who Travis Kelce is, he is the best tight end in the National Football League, okay? Josiah had the right person in his life, and when that article hit, the headline hits, it said Josiah DeGuara, is getting the statistics comparable to Travis Kelce. When that headline hit, come on, the buzz around his game started to shift, right? Josiah, listen, he had the right person in his life at the right place at the right time. Come on, just say, I'm with the right people in the right place at the right time. I want to talk to you today. This is Vision Sunday. I want to talk to you about getting the vision right. And the way we get the vision right is understanding we are the right people. Come on. We're with the right people. That we're with the right tribe. Come on. You're with your peeps. You're with your posse, right? Whatever you want to call your friends. Let's look at Acts 2, 12 to 16. 12 to 16, it says, you know, the backstory, they're 120 are in the upper room. They're praying. They're having a Holy Ghost prayer meeting, right? The Holy Spirit falls, right? And a little bit of confusion and chaos breaks out. We pick up the story in verse 12. They all stood there dumbfounded. Have you ever been dumbfounded in church? All right. You hadn't been going to church too long if you haven't. They all stood there dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, what is this phenomenon? I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. But others poked fun at them and said, they're drunk. They're just drunk on new wine. Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. That is a word for our church right there. You need to clearly understand what's happening, come on, at Real Life Church. You need to clearly understand what's happening in our region, in our nation, in our world regarding the body of Christ. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are. These people are not drunk because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment, everybody say fulfillment, of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. You see, what people saw that day is expressed three different ways if you look at this passage. Some people were confused, dumbfounded, astonished, didn't know what to label it. It could be God, but I'm not sure because they're praying in that funny language. They're talking in tongues. Hello. Others thought it was a drunken binge, that they had stayed out too late the night before. Everybody say hangover. Not an afterglow, but a hangover. All right. But Peter knew, because he saw things clearly, that it was the divine birth of the church. Peter knew it was a promise coming to pass. He knew it was destiny unfolding, prayers being answered, and prophecy being fulfilled. You see, there's a lot of ways people can look at you and I, but listen, we've got to understand actually what is going on and what is happening among us. What I want to ask you as we dive in to the message today is, what do you see when you come to church? What do you see when you come to church? Do you see a building full of people? Or do you see God's people being fully equipped and built up? Ephesians 2:20 says, you are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected. Say, I am connected. Best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. I love how the message breaks it down as well. He says, God is building a home. How are you thankful you can call your church your home? He's using us irrespective of how we got here, how you've been some places. Come on, God brought you through some stuff, but just say, I'm here. I made it. right? You almost didn't make it this morning, but you're here, right? Irrespective of how we got here and what he is building, he used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. How many are you thankful that we can be God's resting place? That God chooses, listen, to brood and hover over us because he's doing something supernatural. See, what do you see when you come to church? Is it a building full of people or do you see God's people being built up? How we know there's a difference? You see, if I just see a building full of people, I don't really care who's sitting next to me. I don't care who's in front of me. I don't care who's in back of me because they're just people and I'm just going to church, right? I talk about checking that box, right? I'm just checking my church box for the day. But if I see it as God's people in the room, how many know there's a difference than people in a room and God's people in a room? I see purpose. I see potential. I see a future together. I see us doing mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. I understand I am the church and that our paths have crossed on purpose for a purpose. Listen, that I'm not just coming, listen, to check my church box. I'm coming because God has a divine appointment. God has divinely connected you and I to do some mighty things in the earth today. And I think that we have lost that as the people of God. That we are so consumer-oriented now, listen, that we have lost the sense of destiny that hovers over us. That we have lost the sense that God has put a dream, he has put an assignment, he has put an anointing on this house, and he has called you and I to fulfill it together. You see, in order to know you're with the right people, you have to view God's people through the right lenses. How many know this is the right lens right here? You have to get God's perspective about the people he's brought into your life, the people he's surrounded you with. I believe that's the difference between movements and moments. I believe God's people are settling for moments when God wants to birth a movement. I just read to you Acts chapter 2. How many know that movement is still unfolding? And we get so enamored with movements, listen, we get so enamored with movements, fall in love with movements, listen, we miss the moments that lead to the movements that are right here. You see, think of some of the great movements today in the body of Christ. Hillsong, Brian and Bobby Houston, Passion City Church, Louis and Shelley Giglio, and Passion Music, Planet Shakers, Russell Evans, Jesus Culture, Banning Leapshire, where I came from before I was here. See, movements are created when I value each moment as a divine setup for you and I to step into our destiny together. I think we've lost that understanding, the importance that the origin of the church is understanding that I'm supernaturally connected to the right people. Come on, I'm with the right people in the right place at the right time. That, listen, we're not just playing church, that we're not just getting our 90 minutes in so we can just go about our lives. No, there is a bigger destiny over you and I together. How many know we will never get to our destiny by ourselves? You see, if we view church as a service instead of God's gathering of supernatural relationships that supply my life with encouragement and empowerment, I will continue to fall short of what God has called me to do. I'm just going to tell you, my gifts by myself fall short of what God wants to do in this place. But our gifts together, come on, God putting us together brick by brick. Come on, us falling into place. Come on, brick by brick. It is building something supernatural. Listen, that if we will not settle for the moment, God will birth a movement right here in Natomas. You see, we must have a shift in our mindset that God has divinely connected us together, that together we are part of the body of Christ, the body of Christ, that we share the same DNA. We have to move past the idea of church attendance to understanding, to the understanding of God's providence. Everybody say providence. This is something that I was taught when I was just a new believer, that you didn't necessarily, obviously we have the power of choice, amen? We all have a choice where we go to church and where we fellowship. But we were taught, even at when I was a young Christian, is like, pray about it. Pray where God wants you to go. Because how many know you can go to the biggest thing, the most booming thing, and still not, it might still not be it. But you could go to that thing that you said, I'm never going there. I know what's there. It's not it. How many of you ever been there? In 2006, I got a call and said, hey, Pastor Dean, we want you to come on staff. We want you to do this. I kicked. I said, Lord, I'm not going there. I know exactly how that thing is set up. It is top down. It is religious. I don't want any part of it. How many of you ever been there? And the Lord said, you arguing with me? How many know you're going to lose that argument every time? He said, Dean, I'm not calling you because you like it. I'm calling you because I want you to change it. I'm calling you because I want to use you, come on, to come alongside this pastor and change the culture of that church. And we did. And that church went from a declining 600 to up over 1,000. Praise God. But we have to move past the idea that church attendance is the place that I want to go to God's providence. God, where do you want me to go? The word providence means a life mapped out by divine destiny, God's will and supernatural intervention in our lives. Providence says, God has called me to be the church. A church attender says, this is where I go on Sundays when I need my church fix. Providence gives me confidence, you guys, that I am divinely connected. Come on, to the person on the left of me and the person on the right of me. Providence says, you know what? You've got purpose in this place. What do you see when you come to church? Do you experience a Sunday moment or a kingdom movement? Do you see people in a room, or do you see people making room for something bigger called the kingdom of God? You see, God's resources and God's gift to the church, how many know it comes packaged in people? How many know you're not sitting by some ordinary person? You're sitting by God's creation. How many know that's extraordinary? You're sitting by somebody, listen, that has something that might be able to help you out in your life. But so many times, listen, because we don't see ourselves as divinely connected, we're over here chasing this and chasing that, and it's right under our nose. It's right among us. But because we've been so conditioned to come to church and say, hey, how are you? Bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. We never even get to know anybody. Okay, I'm preaching. I'm sorry. I'll get back to it. One of the things I've challenged you with since I've been here is to be aware of the fivefold gifts God has blessed this church with. As the pastors of this church, you can view Amy and I as someone who was voted in 2 years ago because I'm pressed the search committee. And I dazzled you at the town hall meeting with all of my answers to your questions. And now I'm leading the organization called Real Life Church. Praise God, hallelujah. Or you can look at Amy and I as a gift to this body that has been called by God to impart something supernatural to you for the next season of your life, to lead you and guide you to places you've never been before, to build people and expand the vision for the future. And I'm here to declare to you, we're here to build and expand for the future. We have something, Amy and I have something supernatural to impart to this congregation, or God wouldn't have brought us here. And I know in my spirit, it's time to build up leaders. I said this at the beginning of the year. It's time to build up leaders for breakout moments and build out and expand our hearts for a movement and not just settle again for Sunday moments. Isaiah 54:2, This isn't on the screen because these are some things that the Lord downloaded on me. Isaiah 54:2 might be familiar to you. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. How many know God, he always builds up before he builds out. He always enlarges our heart before he enlarges the house. And I believe it's time to build up people. It's time to encourage people. It's time to prophesy over people, the promises, the dreams, the visions, and we must prepare people for what's ahead. Come on, sit, tell your neighbor, I'm sitting next to somebody divine. Come on. The same thing goes for Pastor Damien or Pastor Jesse. You can look at Pastor Damien as the guy who came from across town to help us, or you can recognize the prophetic gifting that's on that young man's life that brought us to help us and release his God-given abilities in this place. I am not joking when I say I have somebody at least every other week say, how did you get Pastor Damien? How did you get Pastor Damien? I said, I asked. But you've got to understand how God moves. When we were looking for a youth pastor, a friend of mine gave me Pastor Damien's number. Pastor Damien said, nah, man, I'm not interested. But in our conversation, we knew that there was a connection. And so I said, you know what? I don't know what the future holds for Real Life Church. I don't know where we're going to be at in a few months. But, hey, why don't we just stay in touch? We got a cup of coffee a couple of times, and we were just kindred in spirit. Have you ever just been kindred in spirit with somebody? And then God opened that door, and how many know we've been blessed by that divine connection? Come on. You can look at Pastor Jesse as one of the only people that stuck with Pastor Dean. You poor thing. Pastor Jesse, I'm praying for you. When we were going through all those staff moves, we had somebody literally somebody called him and said, man, what is Dean doing? He is destroying that place. But how you know God was putting something supernatural together? See, you could see her as somebody that just stuck with me, or you can see that God was hiding her because she was stuck in the office with Pastor James and Pastor Andrew, and I thought she was their administrative assistant. Oh, no. I thought that, and somebody warned me, you better not ever let her hear that come out of your mouth. You can see that God was hiding her by divine design as a surprise gift just for this moment in RLC's history to take us to levels internally that we would never be without her. Turn to your neighbor left and right and say, I'm sitting by the right people. See, don't discount the divine in the person sitting next to you. God has brought you here for a purpose, on purpose. Listen, it's time to stop overlooking the gifts that are right among us and start releasing the gifts that are in you. You see, getting the vision right is about understanding that I'm with the right people, because if I'm with the right people, we're going to get the vision right. We're going to get where God is calling us to go. You see, the right people represent the right counsel and advice. The right people in my life represents the right connections. The right people in my life can unlock God's potential inside of me. The right people in my life release me to greater things. The right people in my life can accelerate God's purposes in my life. Have you ever tried to do something on your own? Took a long, long time. But then you met that person, come on. You met that one person that opened the door for you. That's what happened with Josiah with his scholarship. The heavens were brass. He had like a couple offers. But I called a friend that knew a friend who was on staff as a coach at the University of Cincinnati. We sent him his film. He said, it just so happens that our tight end got hurt this week that we were recruiting. He's out for at least a year and a half. We'd love to see your son. And they flew him out. Just so happened they gave him a scholarship that weekend. Come on. The right people can take me faster and further than I can on my own. Why? Because all great things flow through relationships. God's resources flow through relationships. J- Just think with me how many deep wells are right among us that haven't been tapped into. Come on. You ever watch something where they strike oil? But some of you, the drill is going down. And I believe God's about to strike oil in this place. You see, one of my first sermon series was about becoming a house of prayer, not a house with prayer. And God put a dream in my heart when I was on staff at New Life Community Church that there would be prayer happening in the house of God 7 days a week. And that God was going to shift the Pentecostal paradigm of people attending a Sunday service to watch the gifts operate on stage to God's people operating in the gifts and praying people throughout the week. Now, there are a lot of models. There's the IHOP. I've been to IHOP. I've been to One Thing. I've been to all those things. There are a lot of prayer models and movements where people will spend hours just seeking God and his presence. But I saw a different movement. I saw a movement that would spend hours praying people through. How many know we've lost the art of praying people through? Come on. We don't have enough time to pray people through anymore. Come on. How many know we need to create a prayer movement, listen, that will pray some people through, some breakthrough. And then a year ago, in walks Margie, Gloria, and Teresa in my office asking if I'd be willing to host a ministry called Sacramento Healing Prayer. Healing prayer at the time was without a place and they didn't know it, but I had a place in my heart to see something like this unfold. And I met with Chandra and Annie and there was an immediate connection. And now we have prayer happening for people throughout the week. Come on. God's resources, what I'm trying to get you to see, God's resources flow through relationships. This would have never happened if Dean would have just had a good idea. Oh, I've got a vision. Let me tell you about a vision that I got, right? Would have never happened. But Margie says, hey, I know somebody. She didn't know what was in my heart, but she says, I know somebody. How do you know God knew what was in my heart? I know somebody that does this type of ministry. And it's not just, listen, it's not just the type of ministry. She has my heart. This ministry has my heart. They have my approach, the gentle approach to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This ministry as a whole is a perfect match made in heaven. It would have never happened, come on, if it wasn't for divine connection. Come on, if it wasn't for divine relationship, if it wasn't for you just saying, you know what? I think I'm going to go to him with this idea. How many know you can bring your ideas to your pastor? It might just take us to the next level. And it's so encouraging to me to see people coming in now throughout the week. I say, what are you guys doing? Oh, I'm getting prayer. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm getting prayer. I'm like, I need prayer. I need prayer. Right? Divine connections. Will you allow me to have fun for a moment? Can we have some fun in church? Think about how important successful connections in the following relationships that have entertained us and taught us since we were little kids. Come on, how many know Fonzie had Richie Cunningham? Come on, Laverne had Shirley. Squiggy had Lenny. Abbott had Costello. Laurel had Hardy. The Lone Ranger had Tonto. Batman had Robin. Tarzan had Jane. Come on, how many know Starsky had Hutch? Yogi had Boo Boo. Fred had Barney. Scooby had Shaggy. Okay, now we're going to get biblical, all right? Biblical. Here we go. Moses had Joshua. Ruth had Naomi. Paul had Timothy. Elijah had Elisha. David had Jonathan. Paul had Barnabas. And Jesus, he had John. You say, Pastor Dean, I just feel like I'm part of the crowd, not divinely connected. I'm isolated and alone. You say, Pastor Dean, I don't have anyone. I don't have no friends, no prospects, no family, no spouse, no kids. But how many know you've been divinely connected, come on, to a church? You've been divinely connected to a church. Genesis 2, verse 18 says, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And I love this because it just jumped out at me. It says, I will make a companion who will help him. How many need some help? Men, how many need some help? Women, how many need some help? Single moms, how many need some help? Single dads, how many need some help? College student, how many need some help? How many know God specializes in making companions to come alongside us and help us out. You know, if God can make Adam a friend out of the dust, surely he can bring you a friend to help you with your destiny. You see, God wants to form genuine friendships and meaningful relationships in the church by understanding that we have been divinely connected. That is not an accident that you call this place your home. It is not even an accident if this is your first time attending. That if we would just understand, come on, that it is a spiritual thing. That God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That actually the word ecclesia means the called out ones. Means that we've been called out together. This is just a gathering place. Next week, we're still the church, but we're going to be in Discovery Park. It's just where we gather. Say, I am the church. You see, God is asking some of you to open up your relational circle in the next season because he wants to open up heaven over your life. Others, God is asking you to create a circle, to create community. And this morning, I wanted Mike and Janine Newman to come up. And they are a special couple that attends. Can we give them a hand as they come? Sam, I'm using Mike number one up here. But these guys are awesome. Mother and father of the evangelist Emily Newman here on the front row that I call the evangelist, future worship leader, but there we go. But you guys came to me a couple of months ago. I say a couple of months, probably been 6 to 8 months ago now. And you came to me with a deep longing for more relationally. You wanted to experience an intimacy really that you weren't finding here at the time. And I've never been one to overpromise because I recognize kind of the season that we were in. And I just said, I know that it's coming, but I can't tell you, I can't promise you that you're going to experience what's in your heart, because we actually relate a lot because we had a lot of kind of the same experience, discipleship experiences. So I knew what they were saying, but I was like, it's not here yet, but it's coming. And so we talked, and it came to that place where I just blessed them. I said, you know what? If you can't find it here, I want you to go, and I want you to go find wherever that is. And so can you just tell us a little bit about what you guys were feeling at that moment to kind of give them an idea of what you were looking for?
For those of you that may not know us, we actually came from Australia almost 7 years ago. So for us, we didn't bring our posse of friends with us. We've sort of had to come and form relationships again. And that's quite daunting. That takes time. And, you know, there's a long period of loneliness where you don't have those really deep relationships that take time to nurture. And I think, you know, we've always loved real life. We've always met people and had relationships, but not that went down deep. And I know you can all... You know what
I'm... How you can relate. Come on. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I was listening to you today when you were saying, well, do you know the person behind you, beside you? And I'm like, no, I know a handful of people really well, but I want to know more of you. And there just wasn't that opportunity. So I really struggled with that. And I know my husband and I talked about it a lot, and that's why we came and spoke to you.
Awesome, which I appreciate when people come talk to me. Don't be afraid to talk to your pastor. I don't bite.
Oh, it's dangerous when you talk to your pastor.
But you guys, I bless you, you know, we were still friends, but can you just tell a little bit about what you experienced out there?
Yeah, we weren't gone long. We went out kind of in search of, kind of to see what was out there that we might have been missing, and really God got a hold of us very, very quickly. 2 weeks, we, you know, went to a couple of years. And we felt like God was saying, what are you guys doing? Like, really, you know where home is. You know where your people are. And we realized that everything that we needed, everything that we were looking for was right here. But it was our job to cultivate it. It was our place to cultivate that, to make that happen. And it was felt like the Lord was really strongly saying, you know, you need to be the change that you want to see. You start that here. You know, God made man in relationship. Genesis says, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He did that in community. He was in community when he created us, and he made us in that image. We're made for relationship. We're made for community. And it's our responsibility to make those communities happen for ourselves, too. It's all right here. Everything you need is right here. So we felt very quickly that, because this is a this is the most welcoming church we've ever experienced, I think, that I can think of. I've never been hugged so much in my life. Every week I come in and it's fantastic. And we've had experiences of community in our lives before. We know what that feels like. And there's been a longing for it, I think, for many years in many places. And so that's what really drew us back, is we realized this is our home. This is our place. And we don't want to go anywhere else. And we don't need to be going out looking for something that's right here.
Amen. And go ahead. Go ahead. You guys can give them a hand. They came back. Hallelujah. But you guys did something that a lot of people don't do. You took responsibility. You had that revelation of, God, you've given me this responsibility to do this. What did God put in your heart? You came back. You said, Pastor Dean, this is what's in our heart. Tell the
Well, as Mike said, you know, we felt really strongly that God was saying you need to be part of the change. And so, as I said, it's dangerous talking to your pastor. But we just felt like, you know, I'm just somebody, but I have a vision that God's planted in our heart and together. And we've got a couple of other wonderful people. I know Bev and Ed. Can you stand up? Because they're our team members. Come on, Bev. Come on, Ed. Stand up.
Come on, give them a hand.
And I know Tom and Tammy Garrow is, you know, well known by you. They'll probably be at the next service. And the six of us really got together and, I guess, put some ideas about what this needs to look like. And it's been evolving. You know, initially it was this, initially it was that. But we just have a heart for, as, you know, the new seasons that people are in. Whether you've come from a different church and you come into real life and you don't know anybody. Whether you've come from a different city, you've moved from, I don't know, Connecticut to California and you find yourself in Sacramento and you don't know anybody. Or whether, like us, you've come from Australia and you've suddenly found yourself in Sacramento. It's just, we want to create a place, an opportunity, events, so we can connect on a deeper level. So when you're sitting in church, you go, I know that person in front of me. Oh, look who's beside me. And you have more than a high-bye attitude. You're connected and you're invested.
Awesome. Come on. You guys, there's a way that, so this is a new community. It's called New Season. How we need a new season? It's New Seasons Community. How can they get connected and just get in touch with you guys and what you're doing?
Well, we just want to state that, look, initially we will kind of put boundaries around it because, oh, there's young adults, there's singles, there's this. But I just feel the more we've sifted through what God is speaking to us, we don't want to do that. We just want to say if God is putting it in your heart and you feel this is what you need, you want to be a part of that, then yes, whether you're married, you're single, you're never married, you're divorced, you're widowed, we don't care, we love you all. So to start something off like this, we felt we had to actually form a basis of relationship. And the best way we know to do that is to have a meal together. So initially we're going to create a situation where we're going to put together dinners of eight. And then once we feel like we've got that platform, then we can have events so that when you turn up, you go, I know them and I know them and I know them. And we can create the community by relationship. So at the end of the service, we're going to be standing out at, whereabouts are we standing? Just outside the door. And we'd like you to come and put your name, the best contact number and an email, and we'll be in touch. And so what we're going to do, our team is going to get together and create dinners of eight, and then we're going to mix and match you around. So you're not just going to meet eight people. And then eventually when we've sort of felt like we've really come together, then we're going to have, you know, barbecues or football. You know, go and do things together.
Come on. Come on.
Thank you guys so much for creating community. Come on. I wanted to share that because how many know that's just real right there? That's real. And so many of us come inside feeling that way, But how many know God has given us the creative ability, come on, to cultivate supernatural relationships? He's given us that ability. Everybody say divine connection. You see, I've seen people refuse to open their lives to others and then find themselves isolated and alone. They're living under a closed heaven, no resources, because they closed off their heart to the possibility of what God wanted to do with the people around them. I believe that new favor is coming through new relationships here at Real Life Church. But if we're closed off to anyone new coming into our lives, how many know we can block the blessing that God desires to bring in our life? I love the perspective some friends of mine had at the last place I was on staff at. Mike and Brenda Miller came every Sunday. They were brand new to the church. On their first day of the church, as they were walking up to the Lord, put it on their heart, whoever you sit by, I want you to take out to lunch. They asked them out to lunch. They went out to lunch. They met those people. The next Sunday, the same thing. Every Sunday for the last 4 years, when this couple has came to church, they ask God, God, whoever we sit by, we're asking to the lunch. If they say no, we're asking somebody else. How many know that's how you create community? That's how you find divine connections. You see, Mike and Brenda didn't walk in and just say, you know what, I'm part of the crowd. No, Mike and Brenda walked in and said, you know what, God, where I sit, come on, is a divine assignment, is a divine appointment. The person sitting next to me, it is God ordained. It is not an accident. It is providence. Hello. How many know it'd be awesome if just you turned around and said, hey, can we go to lunch? How many know we just have every restaurant filled? Amen. 2 weeks ago, I talked about community as how I believe it pertains to RLC. It is created by and consists of the presence of God, the Word of God, and the power of God. And I believe when relationships are built around these three things, I believe a supernatural bond is created that cannot be broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand them, and a threefold cord is not easily, quickly broken. You see, when I'm acknowledging his presence, there is purpose in everything I do. When I'm obeying his word, every step I take is ordered by the Lord. When I'm walking in his power, my life is destined to make an impact in somebody else's life. And I believe the next season, listen, I know you might have said, what's the vision? I want us to cast a vision. Come on, for divine connections. Come on, for redeemed relationships. I want us to catch a vision for God's people. Because how many know that person next to you, they need some encouragement? Come on, that person next to you, they need God's promise. I was talking to somebody this week when we were out at the Love Natomas, and they were just telling me how they needed to hear God, that they didn't need to know, they needed to hear from God. How many know we can encourage somebody, and that God can use us to be his voice to them? You see, the next season, I believe, has to be about connecting my life to the right people who God already has in the room. Could you imagine what would happen if we tapped into all the gifts, talents of those God has gathered in the room? You talk about an explosive ministry. I look at what's happening to the youth, and when we came together, Pastor Isaiah and I talked, I said, well, you ever thought about fine arts? He said, let's do it, let's roll. And I think about guys like Mission and his wife. Mission's right up here. Mission has a rap ministry. God is opening doors for him all across the nation. It is an amazing thing, amazing minister. I'm just going to say that, a minister of the gospel. He'll reach people that you and I will never reach. But he poured into these three kids, and I was talking to him this morning. He said, yeah, when we first started, he said, I just did not know. And here he is, listen, him and Shanae, they pour into these three young men. Come on, and they're standing, come on a national stage. Listen, and I love it. I love it because JT Lund's been hitting me up on Instagram just saying, Pastor Dean, thank you for believing in us. How many know young people need to know that we believe in them? Listen, they just don't arrive at the destiny. We got to call them to their destiny. And God is calling you and I to our destiny. He wants to call you and I to our destiny through one another. Through one another. Not just praying for each other, but come on, calling out the gold in people. What do you see when you come to church? What do you see when you come to church? people in a room or people that God is building up. Let's be a people that call out the golden people. I've got a declaration. I've been doing 31 days of declaration, and this is one that I read while I was on vacation. I said, that's the one I'm going to use right there. But I want us to say this together. Will you stand with me just for this? I'm going to have you sit back down, but I want you to stand. There's just power, and I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you, because I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon us in this moment. We're going to release something in this room. I believe something supernatural is going to happen. Will you say with me, 1, 2, 3, I declare I am a people builder. I will look for opportunities to encourage others, to bring out the best in them, and to help them accomplish their dreams. I will speak words of faith and victory, affirming them, approving them, letting them know they are valued. I will call out their seeds of greatness, helping them to rise higher and become all that God has created to be. This is my declaration. Can we give God praise for that? You may be seated as we're going to take communion together as the band just begins to pick up behind me. But listen, when I have an understanding that I'm with the right people, I now know that I'm in the right place. Come on, at the right time, things start falling into place. God starts filling in the blanks. Promises start coming to pass. Things I prayed for years about start getting answered, and doors that have been closed start opening. Why? Because I'm with the right people. I'm in the right place. I'm at the right time, the right moment. And I believe it's not an accident that you're here, and that God wants to take us beyond Sunday moments, and He wants to birth a movement among us, and He's going to do it. Amen. I had this thought. On the back of our Love Natomas t-shirt, it says, join the movement. And everybody comes to the park and says, what's the movement? What's the movement? And we tell them our little spiel. And I was thinking about it that night before I was going to bed. And I had this thought, this just dropped. I am the movement. We are the movement. We are the movement. That's not the movement. That's not the movement. That's not the movement. I am the movement. God wants to move in you and through you to do something supernatural.